This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Malolale and welcome to another year of Nijan Footy, the number one place to get your Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union world. My name is Sam Wykes and they've let me and my Cook Island Koei, Tinidar Arona, back for another year.
We are back.
We are back.
We are back. 2025. Let's go. First show. How good. I'm excited to be back. It was a long 3 weeks away from the mic. And also yourself, Sammy. But, geez, I'm looking forward to the year ahead. Kia ora to all our listeners across the Pacific. We did play Nijan Knowledge last year for some tattoos. So just a quick update on that one. We will be getting them tattoos.
Just organising the tattooist. I wanted a special one.
We're getting the tattooist. I'm going to get Sam's face on my bum. He'll get his face on his bum.
Faces now.
Yeah, the pencil faces of the cartoon Nijan Footy.
I thought
image.
We agreed to just the.
Nah, we're going with the faces. Awesome. I want to see your face every day of my life when I look at my backside. But as you know, each Monday we have a guest here that we will interview. And today's guest, Sammy, we have
Dave Duinalvai. He is he's doing some great work with the Nijan community, Nijan brothers who want to make it in the NFL. Down in Melbourne with his Conquest Gym. And
so is he a selector for NFL?
He's a trainer. He's a trainer, strength and conditioner, high-performance trainer. And this will be a good chat because he'll let us know how he got into the sport because he's actually a former strength and conditioner for the Ikaletahi, the National Rugby Union team for Tonga. And now he's found himself, prepping some young athletes to go to the combine, get drafted, and go on from there.
So he's helping pave a way for a pathway for these for our Nijan athletes here in Australia.
Here in Australia, yeah,
across Pacific.
Well, he's down in Melbourne, but some people have travelled from Sydney down to Melbourne to his gym. But a lot of his talent are based down there. A lot of his athletes are based down in Melbourne, and he's had a couple of success stories already in the short amount of time he's done this. But speaking of NFL, the reason why we wanted to get him on because we've had some people cross over to NFL, yep, Val Holmes, Jared Hayne as well,
yep.
And recently Jordan Pataia from Rugby Union.
Jordan Pataia?
No, I know there's Jordan Mailata.
Oh, Mailata.
Sorry, from there, he's already in there, but former Reds winger, Wallaby winger, he is over there now going through that system that Jordan Mailata went through. But with the combine, do you know any of the tests that they do?
Yeah, the 40-yard sprint.
Yep.
The quarterbacks, they got them target throws. I think they have like an agility test, catching, so run through.
Yeah, they've got
catches.
The on-field.
I like my
I think it's
NFL.
A bench press too, max bench press at 100 kilos.
I think it's 100 kilos and you max
Yeah, max reps. It out. Yeah, yeah. What position do you think you would play in NFL? Yes, if you had the option. And what position would you like to play?
I was going to say I'd like to be a wide receiver because it seems like they get a lot of attention.
But you're slow.
Quarterback or running back, but they get smashed. Quarterbacks, they have to know the book inside out. So I think that, you know, although it pays good money to be a quarterback, a lot of pressure. It's all, you know, whether you win or lose, it's on your shoulders. Probably I'd go with one of those protectors, the ones that protect the.
Oh, yep.
But more the fast, you have to protect the fast guys trying to rush the quarterback.
Is it a cornerback, the one that protects him?
Because I'm not that blindside. I'm not the blindside because they have to be big humans.
No, well,
I could be completely wrong.
To be honest, we have got no idea.
It's good to have
him on. Something different to break up our rugby league and rugby union chat.
And wait, just before we go, your position.
QB.
QB?
Yep. I'll be like a Tom Brady.
Throwing
slow.
With your left hand.
I'm slow. I wouldn't test well in the combine like what he did. I'd be the last pick, but all heart, grit, and I've got an arm on me.
Beauty. Well, let's get on with the show.
Moment of the week.
Usually each week we give our moment of the week in rugby league or rugby union, but I thought we'd go with our moments of our Christmas holidays. It's been 3 weeks we've had off. Christmas, New Year's. What was your moment, Sammy?
Do you know what? My moment was actually celebrating the end of the year with you, Sarah, and Tiana.
Oh, really?
Because I haven't had that many waters.
Coconut waters.
Coconut waters in a long time. And after I woke up the next day feeling great, I was like, I'm never drinking that many waters again. I'm done. So it was my moment just to cap off a good year with some good company.
It was a good evening.
Show a lot of appreciation and love to a new family after transitioning out of rugby league and rugby union, even though it's been nearly 4 years. But we found our feet in this space, so it was a good way to reflect and unwind.
Shout out to Tiana Pinatani and Sarah Ngama for a wonderful evening. I was only meant to be there a few hours, but you ended up keeping me there for a lot longer than I expected.
And I've realized how strong you are in the wrestle. I tried to grapple you a little bit and I just felt a grip that I realized I'm not going to win this one. So
the underhooks, mate.
The underhooks.
Got to find those handles. My moment. So 3 weeks off. It's been a busy year last year. We had a fair bit going on. So I had three things I wanted to achieve. First one was just want to reset, get away from work, both ABC and RLPA. Second one was spend some time with my wife, which I'd done. We went on a 4-day cruise up to Moreton Island. My brain is still swaying. I only landed yesterday morning, so I'm here rocking like a ship. But the third thing was spend some time with my sons. Now, the way that I spend time with my sons, because they're 14 years, turning 15 this year, as you know, they don't want to hang out with dad. They want to go on their devices. So I make them go and train. They've been coming home lately from their friends' houses and saying, oh, dad, I've been training. I go, yeah, what have you been doing? He goes, oh, the boys have got weights at the back. So I'm like, all right, I need to teach these boys how to lift weights before they go and hurt themselves. So I've taken them to their first gym session, walked them through. Funny moment was when they had to sign the papers and fill in the details, put their date of birth. They didn't know what to do. They were like, what do you mean? Fill this out. I go, yeah, your
name.
They've
never filled out a
DOB means date of birth.
Paper before.
No, they don't.
They don't do that.
They never had to.
Wow. So,
and so if I say you put in your date of birth, what are you putting on in the paper?
25th of the 4th, 88.
So 20, you put the numbers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So my sons, they put the date, so the 15th, and then they put the month. They actually wrote the month.
The square's then, that big.
So it just reminded me. I'm like, okay.
Before we lift weights, we're going to learn how to fill out the paper.
Learn how to do the details. But then we went into the gym, taught them the right technique that on how to bench press, how to squat, how to deadlift, and they're only doing the bar. So they're like, oh, when do we get to lift the heavy weights? It's too easy. I'm like, you learn how to lift that properly. And you keep doing it until I'm happy with your technique and then we'll add some weight. So that was my moment of my holidays, spending some time with my wife, my sons, and, being able to reset. But we're ready to go for
Love it, mate. Let's rip into the rugby league news. Is that what we got first up?
Rugby league news.
Hey, it's Wolf Skelton here and you're listening to Asian Footy.
So rugby league, the season doesn't start for another month and a half, where we kick off round one in Las Vegas, and I'm still
There's whispers.
That ticket over to the Viva Las Vegas.
Just one ticket, eh? Selfish.
Well, someone's got to hold the fort here in Asian Footy, mate. Otherwise, we'll come back and we don't have a radio show to share to our people.
I thought we could take it over there like we did at the PAC Champs. If you're listening to.
maybe next year.
Next year, all right.
But there is some news that I've found in the rugby league world. We'll start with Papua New Guinea. So long-serving player turned coach Wotovo Puara, he will leave the PNG Hunters. He's been there since 2014, and he will join the Agmark Gurias, so one of the local teams in PNG.
Nice.
Highly respected. Paulie Aiton, their head coach, he done an Instagram post that shared this news, so he seems like he's done a lot of work for the PNG Hunters, and you know, he'll add a lot of value to his new team at Admark.
Do you reckon that's a bit of a strategy, knowing that they're coming into the NRL, that they need their, you know, some really experienced coaches actually heading out to the, you know, the local teams now to be making sure that they're like learning the correct techniques and what's required?
Well, there is a huge opportunity for Papua New Guinea and the locals there when it comes to rugby league and being the next NRL team. So if it's like what David Mead said, you know, if you are a 18, 16, 15-year-old, you are waking up and you are training in the mornings, in the evenings, preparing for when this team comes through. So, yes, it wouldn't be surprise me if it was a strategic plan for Papua New Guinea. Speaking of Papua New Guinea, one of their PNG Kumuls, Kyle Labutt, he has announced his retirement from professional rugby league. Kyle has represented the North Queensland Cowboys in the NRL. He has also played 11 games for the Kumuls. He's played for PNG in the Nines and the PNG Prime Minister's 13 as well. And he's played in the Indigenous All-Stars team last year. So wish him all the best, Kyle Labutt. He's, he'll be joining his local team for this upcoming season. We're going to head over to the Cook Islands, and CK Athletic Development have held their third rugby league clinic on the island in Rarotonga. That is run by Corbin Baxter and Kiana Takarangi. And, you know, they've actually taken quite a solid team over there. A few NRLW players like Talia Fuimaono, Shannon Mato, and Kennedy Sherrington. And then we've also had ex-Kiwis and Cook Islanders Zane Titavano and Brad Takarangi join them. And, you know, seeing some of the footage there of all the kids enjoying their time, but also these coaches teaching the kids, you know, the detail of the game. You know, they had tackle technique, they had kick catch practice, they had, you know, passing clinics. So, and then at the end, it showed all the kids had to dance for some of the merchandise that they sent over there or they took over there for them. So, great work to everyone who was involved. I know that the kids would have loved it.
Just on that, you mentioned tackle tech. So, Corbin Baxter's, and actually, they'll be able to hear this because
They're over there live.
Yes. Matty Baxter, if you're listening, this is Corbin Baxter's husband. He's teaching tackle tech. We played with him when we were kids, mate. He can't tackle. So I was like, how is this bloke, of all people, teaching these young Cook Island kids how to tackle? No, I'm joking.
I did see one of his techniques, the skills that he the main thing, same foot, same shoulder.
Yep, still applies today.
Still applies.
Perfect. So he's doing a good job
there. So great work to the team over there, and they're heading over to Otatuki to do a clinic over there as well.
What a trip!
I know that we'd love to be there, Sammy. We have to get on one of these.
Vegas or Otatuki? I'll take Otatuki.
Yeah, I'll go. Oh, I don't know. We'll see. And in other news, David Fifita, he still remains in doubt for round one for the Gold Coast Titans. It's reported that he suffered a setback in his recovery from an ankle injury that he suffered from last year. And then in my final bit of news, I didn't even know that there was another Hopoate on the NRL scene. Now, this is Sione Hopoate. He is on a training trial contract with the Brisbane Broncos. He is a winger, and apparently...
No, he's not a winger.
reports are is that he is impressing Coach Madge. And with the wingers that they've lost from last year, so they've lost Tristan Saylor to St. Helens, Corey Oates, and Jordan Pereira, there could be a strong chance if Sione Hopoate keeps impressing the coach.
There'll be four in total. So Pani playing for the Roosters. She's at the Roosters or she's gone to the Dogs, is she?
Pani is at the Dogs.
Dogs, yeah. They're in this year. Wow. Then you've got
Lehigh
Manly.
Then you've got the Canberra Raiders one.
Yep.
Is that Jamal?
Oh, Jamal. Yeah.
Jamal.
Yeah, okay. He's at Canberra and then possibly another one in Brisbane.
And then you've also had Albert and Will
play. Oh, my goodness. What a...
And the dad.
What a... Any other what a family. Like what a family.
But... That would be pretty crazy. So hopefully, let's try and get Sione on the show. We've got every other Hopoate on the show. Let's go, Sione.
We'll finish up with the dad. Yeah.
In some unfortunate news, Helam Lukey from the North Queensland Cowboys, he suffered a ACL injury. So he just had surgery and he'll be out for the 2025 season. Sending much love to Helam. He's a, you know, rising star or already a star. And I know that these ACLs can be a setback, but I'm sure he'll come back better and stronger for the 2026 season. And I thought I'd give a bit of a feeling of my NRL experience through the club visits I had at the end of last year.
Not with the other work.
my other job. We're going to go through shortly or over the few weeks some predictions on the NRL season, you know, where I think the teams will land at the end of the season. We'll also go through Super Rugby. But I'd like to give a shout out to the Parramatta Eels and the energy that I felt going into that club. You know, the change of staff, you've got Jason Rolls there as the new head coach. You've got Tongan international Sam Moa. He's the assistant coach, and then your friend Scott Wisemantle, a rugby union background. He's also the other assistant coach. Just seems like there's been a shift in mood and energy, and they seem like they're ready for a big season. They're firing. They're ready to go.
I predicted them to come last in our last prediction last year.
Last year?
Yeah, but this year they're going to be my smoky.
Really?
Yeah, to improve, just to get off the bat. Just mainly because probably I'm biased towards Scott Wiseman, being a rugby union man. I feel like his energy, if you're saying that their energy is up and the mood is high on spirits, I think he would have a big part of that. Like, that's what he lives off. I'll give you an example. When you'd hold your team meeting and you'd walk into a room and the seats would be there and the whiteboards that way, the projectors that way, he would make sure the team room would never look the same way twice the same. So
he'll change the whole scenery for every meeting.
So if you're, so sometimes there'll be no chairs, sometimes the chairs, sometimes you'd be facing the other way. So every time you come into a room, everyone's focus is on the same thing, knowing that the room's changed, rather than if you've come in from, you know, from the car, you've had a fight with your missus or you got the kids or something. So everyone comes in with a different emotion and feeling, but that's how he gets you to flick the switch and be on the same page right from the get-go. So that's why I think he's going to play a big part in how they go this year.
It's also worth mentioning when I walked in, Ronald Volkman was there.
Was he? Yeah. The shoulder injury?
Yeah, from the Warriors went to the Dragons and all that, the situation drama, that happened with him last year. And, yeah, he was training at the Parramatta Eels. He seemed, you know, he was positive and smiling. So Parramatta Eels, West Tigers is the other one. The playing group, the additions that they've added, Jerome Luai, Sonia Turuva, Terrell May, and Royce Hunt. I done a presentation in front of the Tigers and the boys at the front. Yeah, Jerome, Royce, Sonia just in the second row, but seem like they're really keen to take on that leadership role and, you know, turn things around for the West Tigers.
So for all our Tigers fans out there, from what you're saying, you're giving them some hope.
And when it comes to my predictions, they're not getting the spoon.
Oh, okay.
They will not. Well,
that's
be getting,
a start. That's
have they got that's in, three in a row?
Three in a row.
Three in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, so nah, not this year. Not 2025.
Okay.
So we've got a few other visits that I'll, if anything comes to mind or any feelings I get when it comes to these predictions, but those were my two, you know, they seem like they've, made some changes.
Well, I appreciate positive. That too. I appreciate that because that's going to, we'll need that when it comes time to tipping as well, when you get your gut feeling. So keep those club visits up, mate.
Have I just told you this? And
yeah, don't do that to me. Give us a chance, mate. I was shocking in last year's tipping competition, but we'll see how we go this year. It's a fresh start. And is that all for rugby league?
That's it for rugby league, mate. Let's move on to rugby union.
Yeah, let's have it as a rugby union. And, oh, man, it's good to be back talking footy, especially about our Pacific talent. And we're going to start off with the Coral Coast Sevens happening over in Fiji this Thursday, the 16th of January, and finishing on the 18th of January. And this is an invitational competition.
You said Coral Coast, yeah?
The Coral Coast, yeah.
Coral Coast, not Gold Coast.
No. Can you say Crush Coral?
Cross Coral. Coral Coast. Where's
Coral
that?
Coast.
Where the hell are
they? It's in between Nandi and Suva.
Oh.
Yeah, in Fiji.
I actually thought you meant it was in Gold Coast, but it's named Coral Coast. So it's a Fijian place.
Oh, my goodness.
My bad to all my Fijian listeners. Coral Coast.
Coral Coast. Crush Coral. It's an invitational competition. They hold it every year. It's massive over there. And even though it's an invitational comp, like you could send teams from wherever, but a lot of national teams send their teams over for this competition to prepare themselves for the upcoming circuit. So we're actually going to see Manu Samoa playing this competition. We're going to see Australia, their men's team. New Zealand are sending two teams over there. The Fijian national side will be playing the Fijian Drua. They've got a team in this competition and they're prepping for Super Rugby next month. And what I love about this competition as well, where it gets really, really juicy, is the local teams like the Buller Bay Sevens, the Lavindi Brothers, the Taikita Brothers, they all get to come up, I guess, against the so-called heavyweights and test themselves against the very best. And or it could actually be light work for the local boys, because we know what AT, we know what they're like when it comes to sevens. They're just all impressive.
It's their sport.
It's their sport. Their strength is on their feet. They're offloading left, right, and center. So this is the big competition to kick off the sevens circuit for the year as an invitational one. And in the women's, we see the Pacific Nomads will be competing, as well as New Zealand Development. The Drua women also have a team. And I'm going to back the...
Sorry,
you're right there, mate? Is my rugby union news boring you, is it?
Nah.
You just want to have a scroll on Facebook?
I'll explain what I was looking at. I'll explain what I was looking
at. You're right, mate. I'll give you all the respect in the world for rugby league.
Keep going.
Sweet. I'll just talk to myself.
Keep going.
But one of the teams that I'm backing for no particular reason other than I like saying the village name and they have the strongest cover. Do you remember where they have the strongest cover? Your mates are from there.
Yeah. In Fiji.
Yeah. Whereabouts? You're on fire today.
I forgot the name.
The Kandavu.
Kandavu.
I'm gonna,
cover.
Yeah. Kandavu cover. I'm going to be back in the Kandavu women's team to do well in this competition. So
why?
Just because, as I said, I like... Were you listening to my last sentence?
You like the cover.
I like the cover. No, I like the name. I just like saying Kandavu for some reason. It just sounds good
off
the tongue.
Sorry for the interruption. The only reason why, you mentioned Coral Coast Sevens.
Yeah.
I just remembered in the Cook Islands they had the Nines in Paradise, so the Nines tournament invitational as well, and the Arurangi
Bears
won.
Did they?
They won.
Shout out to the Arurangi Bears. Awesome. Love that.
Back to rugby union.
Thanks, mate. Thank you. And just to finish on the Coral Coast Sevens, hey, listen to this. This is the shout out must go to the bloke who's cutting the grass, who's mowing the lawn, the big field over there. You wouldn't believe what he's mowing the lawn with.
Whippersnipper.
Nah, close. That's what the people who are locked up and all the punishment people have to...
Machete.
No, not the machete. Just a push mower.
The one that the grass just stays on the field.
Yeah, that one. No, it's motorized, but he's doing the whole field by himself.
How many
hours?
Acres is that?
How many acres? It's a good question. What's 100 meter field by 72 fields? Square meterage is, I don't know, but ChatGPT said it will take about 6 hours to mow that lawn.
6 hours?
6 hours. So without that man, they're
no
playing.
Lights.
What do you mean no lights?
There's no floodlights at the field.
No, he would start in the morning.
So he's got to be done by, start at 4, be done at 10 a.m.
Mate, I don't know where I'm going with this, but shout out to that bloke. He's doing an amazing job. And we're going to go through some important dates too for the Sevens. We have the Perth Sevens, which is back 26th of Jan. That will start over there. Super Rugby back on the 14th of February between the Crusaders and the Hurricanes. But, of course, the main focus is the Drua and Moana Pacifica. The Drua take on the Brumbies in Suva on the 15th of February. And I'll be there for that game too. Which is
15th of Feb?
Yep, that's a Saturday. All right, so write
need
that
to
down.
Find a co-host.
No, no, I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, you leave after.
I leave after the show. I'll be right. I'm always here. And Moana Pacifica will take on the Western Force in Perth on the 15th as well. And Super W begins on the 28th of Feb, where the Drua come up against last year's champions, the Waratahs, in Sydney. And we've got some signing news too.
What do you got for us?
Cook Islander and all-round weapon of a player, and not you, Ash Masters, has joined Sarah Nagama at the Western Force. So that's a massive get for the Western Force.
Where was she previously?
At the Melbourne Rebels. So they are no longer around this year. So she has head over to the West, and it'll be interesting to see what position she plays as well. She's a hooker, she's a seven, and she's also played in the centres. So an all-round player. So I'm looking forward to seeing her in my old colours.
Big family, the Masters family.
Huge family. The Waratahs as well. This is a blow to the Waratahs and the Wallabies. It looks like Fijian number 8, Lungi Gleeson, is apparently heading over to France. And the funny thing about this, he was actually the Wallabies had a 3-day camp last week. It's a bit of testing before they go into their season. He was invited to that camp, but Joe Schmidt, their coach, when they found out the news,
Cut him.
So that's a big loss.
So does that mean he only wants Australia-based players in the Wallabies?
It seems that way. And he's only 23. And this is only his third full season. And already he feels like, my time is up. I'm going to go overseas and probably chase a bit of coin. And the ironic thing about this, you know, I always come with a bit of mail when it comes to this type of stuff. I'm hearing that Joe Schmidt won't even be here, the coach. He's not re-signing on.
The Wallabies coach.
Yeah, Wallabies coach. So if that's true.
So who's next?
I'm hearing. Can I say that? Nah, it's not Eddie.
Oh.
I'm hearing the coach might be coming from the Queensland area. That's what I'm hearing. Well, that's all from us with the Rugby Union. Let's get to David Duinovai.
It's Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Well, T, our chat this week on Niche and Footy is a little different compared to what we usually do. Joining us is a former strength and conditioner for the Ikaletahi Tongan rugby team, but get this, he is now working with and helping prepare young Pacifica athletes get to the NFL with his academy, Conquest Sports. And we're going to welcome to the show David Duinovai. Thank you so much for joining us. We can't wait to rip in and talk about this one.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you for the time.
Well, let's just start with, I know I mentioned the NFL. What is it that you do?
We do a number of things. So strength and conditioning, training athletes of all sports. Been blessed to do what I've been doing now for close to 17 years. I was with Tonga Rugby League from the OGs back in 40s day to kind of the boys that are currently running around. And then I went to Union, done a couple of years with the Galatahi and finished up with Kefs in the World Cup last year. And I guess in and amongst that, Conquest has been running. So we've been working with the kids that are, I guess, trying to make it in any sport, to be honest. You know, and with the work that I've been doing with the pro and elite athletes, it's given me a platform to give back to, you know, the young kids that are up and coming, and now blessed to open up the NFL doors and open up this new world of American football.
So how did this journey with Conquest start for yourself?
Yeah, it started back in 2007, and it was more, I guess, seeing the need and the niche for boys to get elite level training. I guess growing up in rugby myself, you know, got injured at a young age and didn't know how to do it, right? You don't know until you know. And then navigating my way through, you know, personal training and working with anybody and everybody, and, you know, blessed to do that. But I always knew when I first started that I wanted to one day do what I'm doing and work with pro athletes. But it was really over the years seeing that, you know, unless you're in a proper system and you're getting that advice and support, there was nowhere to do it, especially in Melbourne. You know, we had boys that were talented and leaving Melbourne to chase their dreams and, you know, moving over to Queensland and Sydney and chasing it. So yeah, it was actually my wife at the time. She was like, you know, everyone's coming to you to, you know, ask for your guidance and advice. And I guess that's where we formed the academy. That was back in 2012. So, yeah, we've been going ever since and blessed to do what we're doing. But it was more seeing the gap, you know, for these mainly Polynesian kids, but all ethnicities now, and to really give them an understanding of what it takes to be an elite athlete.
So it sounds like you've trained a wide range of athletes, but the NFL, American football, how did you land in that space and training up these athletes and helping them prepare for things like the combine and getting off to college?
Yes, sir. It was back in probably 2010, I was working with Pro Kick Australia. You know, huge shout out to Nathan Chapman and John Smith. And you know, they're the gurus in the punting world. And I never knew anything about American football. You know, as an Aussie, you know, you only see it the Super Bowl, and, you know, you really don't think much of it in terms of, you know, one day we could send, not only send boys over there, but I guess make a bit of a dent in the landscape in America. So I started working with Pro Kick, and, you know, I started to get a gauge on, you know, what they do, and looked at a couple of the poly boys at that time who were playing. And by chance, one of the coaches flew down from Hawaii and kind of just gauged my interest. And I had a seminar that I was invited to at the University of Hawaii. And I went over there and spoke to the strength and conditioning department. And through that trip, I met Coach Chris Nowley. So he was the assistant head coach at the time for University of Hawaii. And we connected straight away. Don't know what it was, but, you know, me not knowing that he was a 12-year NFL vet and, you know, Polynesian Hall of Famer, we connected from the get-go. We were training. I actually took some of the boys with me at that time. And it was a session that we did in the gym that sparked his interest. So he just came up, introduced himself. We clicked on the spot. And then his first question was like, oh, he goes, would you have any big kids, you know, that you reckon would want to run through a brick wall? And I was like, mate, there's plenty in Australia. And he's like, oh, you know, what size do you reckon? And at the time, I had a couple of big boys that I was working with, and, you know, 16, 6'6", you know, and 6'4", at a very young age. So I showed Chris, and he's just like over the moon. And his reaction was like, it surprised me, because, you know, for us, you know, in rugby, that's normal, you know, big boys walking around, that's normal in Australia. But Coach Chris was tripping out, and like he starts showing all the coaches, and the coaches are like starting to ask me questions, and they're like, Dave, like, you serious? These kids are 16. I'm like, yeah. I was like, they're everywhere in Melbourne, mate. Like, so that's where I kind of first got that gauge. And then a week later, I land. Coach Chris calls me. He's like, hey, I'm coming over. He flies over to the facility I was at the time, which was Musashi, sees the three kids that I showed him, and offered them a scholarship on the spot.
Wow, and on the spot.
That's how football started for Conquest. Yes, sir.
That's unreal. So
it was surreal. Like, you know, he comes down, and obviously by that time I'm like, this guy's played in the league. And as I started to get to know Coach Chris, and everyone around me kept saying to me, no one talks to Coach Chris because everyone's scared of him. And, you know, because he's a big dog in the game, they were all surprised how we've connected, and, you know, very blessed to still keep that connection today. But when he flew down, it resonated for him because he realized how hard we train. You know, my boy, we train 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours, you know, and it's day in, day out. And Coach Chris got to see, and I guess that's where the respect I won from him, and I understood his mindset that if he's looking for guys and he trusts my word, then I've got to go 100 on the boys I work with. So, yeah, mate, it was a bit of a journey, and that then opened the door for football for these big Polynesian kids of mine.
Oh, man, what it goes to show, you know, being at the right place at the right time, but also, you know, speaking to people without that understanding on who, you know, that respect, and just being yourself and building that connection. And then, you know, you've gone along and created this pathway for a number of young Pacifica athletes. Now, when it comes to Coach Chris, and you mentioned he was interested in the, you know, the hard work ethic that you do with your boys, what other aspects of our young Pacifica athletes do you think excites Coach Chris to suit the game of NFL?
I think it's our rugby background, to be honest. You know, a lot of people always ask, Dave, how do you see them transitioning and understanding the game of football? For me, you know, football is one part to it, but it's understanding you know, our background is understanding we're built for this sport. You know, to be told that you don't have to do Broncos and Malcolms and eat and lift weights and get an opportunity of a lifetime, you know, to play football, that's what, you know, really resonates with me. And, you know, it is, it's not for everyone, you know, and I understand that, but it is a unique opportunity to change our people's lives and understand that, you know, rugby's there and rugby's great, don't get me wrong, and I've been in it, you know, pretty much my whole life and fortunate to do what I've done. But football offers a whole new experience, and that experience component alone, to study, get a good education, you know, come back and have a degree, most important part, and play football, you know, you're then coming back and having a better job, which then looks after the rest of our family. So, yeah, it's just a start, to be honest.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There are players. Now, I played, you know, for over 12 years at a professional level, and I've come across a number of our Pacifica athletes that would suit that style of just eating, lifting weights and playing NFL, because whenever it came to the conditioning stuff, you know, usually it's not one of their greatest strengths. Now, can I, speaking of Samoan player that I play with, Paulie Paulie, I thought he'd suit the game of NFL, and also the Fafita brothers.
Even someone like Will Skelton as well. I know he's at the Wallabies at the moment, but like his size of 6'7", 145 kilos, I think he would prefer to do that too than run the Broncos.
Yeah, then run Broncos or running those 4 and 5s. But
mate, the best part is when I tell my big kids that, you know, our fitness now doesn't really involve Broncos and all that. They're like, Coach, mate, what are you
doing? Sign me up,
Coach.
I think Big Sammy there would have been one to jump straight in.
That contact level, not for me. I'm not explosive.
But speaking of these players that transition from, you know, no NFL experience or American football experience, is it hard for them to transition and learn the rules and understand some of the skills that require to play the game?
Yeah, it is hard. And there is a lot of work behind the scenes that is required. And, you know, for example, a normal day in college or even junior college right now with some of the boys that I've got over there, you know, you're up at 5 a.m., you're training at 6, your first class starts at 8. That goes through till about 2 o'clock. Then you've got study hall, so you've got to do your homework before training again. And then you've got to train, and training goes up till about 9 o'clock at night. And then when you finish that, you might have some extra classes you've got to do. So, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. And then you've also got to learn your playbook. So, you know, I guess with now, with the doors being open and the support now of all these great coaches and teams, I'm getting a better understanding on, you know, they call it the football IQ, and whether or not, you know, these boys can handle that pressure. You know, there's one thing about being an athlete, but then there's also the other component is, can he show me a play that I've just put on the whiteboard and then regurgitate it to me and understand, you know, the X's and O's? And it's, you know, from my end, it's very basic to start with. It's just a matter of, can you do this drill and do it multiple times and then show me how you're progressing?
Okay,
and so then if we put that box, then we can go to the next. So, yeah, it is a bit of a journey, and there's a lot of learning around it. So it takes a bit of time.
So you've identified a player. How does he get from your conquest gym over into a high school or into college or into the NFL system?
Well, firstly, they've got to prove that, you know, like I said, they can run through a brick wall to start with. They have to come down, they've got to do their training, you know, and like I said, these coaches have told me they get thousands and thousands of emails, you know, and calls from, you can only imagine, people all around the world trying to, I guess, showcase what they have. Being in the position that I am now, very blessed to have that trust and respect that we can now make that phone call and understand, you know, when I put my name on someone, they've done the hard work. They've done all the stuff that is required in order for them to go to the next step. So, yeah, definitely they can get in touch. You know, excited to do our first interstate combine coming up. And if they are interested, yeah, definitely come down and have a look.
To a young athlete, you know, rugby player or rugby league player that, you know, may be interested in taking up this opportunity or pathway, you know, what are some certain skills or movements that you would recommend this athlete to start working on?
Good question. Flexibility. You know, they're very big on ensuring that their athletes have the knee bend. You know, as we know, as polys, mate, we don't stretch. You know, when they tell us to do our moves and all the recovery stuff, it's a yes, sir, go the other way. So, you know, they're very diligent on those things. So stretching, flexibility, we do a lot of testing around that. Being able to change direction and, you know, be agile, which is football. No bronco, no conditioning to an extent. But, yeah, there's probably a number of little key things that they could do just to kind of start with. And even just watching or playing Madden, you know, I tell the boys as soon as they kind of start, they want to go down this journey to learn football, just start playing Madden. And then I've just got to convince the parents to let them.
That's how I learnt the game of soccer, actually, playing FIFA.
Should have played more. You could have been a professional team. Yeah, for the Cook Islands,
no? Absolutely not.
Hey, so when who was – I know you mentioned those three players that gave you the break, but who has been your biggest success story from your gym that's gone and kicked on?
Oh, good question. There's a number of boys, you know, like, for me, it's just seeing them change their life, to be honest. You know, success is defined on many terms. And I guess going on to kick on and do greater things, young Tom Smith is a perfect example. You know, he's a kid that wasn't in, I guess, the best shape when he came to me. And he was only 16 at the time and was with the Melbourne Pathways here, but was just kind of lost and didn't know what he wanted to do. Started football. Went over to New Mexico Junior College and ended up being one of their kind of head lieutenant sergeants there and, you know, absolutely killed it to the point where he graduated, came back home, and now he's back over there and he's employed by the school to now do what he's doing. So as a leader, which is I'm very big on developing, that shows me that he's really been able to change his world, and now he's getting hired by the school that he was at to coach now and change, I guess, the other kids that are coming through. One example, you know, another example, Tully Amosa, he was one of those boys in the first three that originally got offered by Coach Chris. Went the hard route, went to junior college, you know, and at that time, mate, we didn't know football. You know, I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know what junior college was. It was just Coach Chris had offered, we're jumping at it. You know, we all went in blind. Poor Tully goes to New Mexico, you know, fresh from Australia, not knowing anything about football, calls me a couple of weeks later and like, Coach, I don't know if this is for me. And it's like, come on, Docs, we got this, you know. And it was just supporting them along those, you know, the journey for them. Tully then left there, went to another junior college, ended up in East LA. So when he goes to East LA, meets up with one of my other athletes, you know, they start working. He gets an opportunity, Division II, goes over to Texas A&M. And this is a kid, same thing. Never knew anything about football, but committed and dedicated his life to change, you know, what he wanted to do. When Tully was with me, he would go to school to eat lunch, you know, and it was just, there was no real emphasis on making sure that he wanted to do school until he went down this route. So it was a huge transformation and, you know, really proud because he's still chasing. Finishes junior college, comes back. He then gets an opportunity to go to the IPP program, which he went last year, and he was one of 50.
Is that the one where the NRL players have gone, that IPP program? Is that right?
Like, correct.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
So he was in last year's one, and he was in the final eight. But, you know, we're talking a span of close to 10 years that he's been chasing and still chasing. So, you know, I guess from where I'm standing, to see him develop into this man, now he's got his own family, and you know the boys always know. You know, I'll support you, I'll back you, I'll back you. Just making sure that you know you let me know what's going on, so we can support you along the path. So, yeah, there's a lot of great stories and a lot of great kids that we've crossed paths with, and who are now doing amazing things in their life.
Oh man, I love hearing those type of stories, just from absolutely nothing and just having a crack, and who knows where it could lead. You spoke about the combine, and obviously you need to impress in the combine to be able to get to higher honours. Firstly, what is a combine and how do you impress in a combine?
Good question. The combine is just it's an evaluation day. You know, the NFL runs certain tests to evaluate an athlete and then they get to determine from the data that we analyse from the day do they have the necessary skills and, I guess, athleticism to play that position for that team. So the combine event itself, it's a number of different tests that we run. So we're fortunate now to partner up with Marshawn Lynch and his Beastman company. We've got like a number of NFL teams, Coach Chris coming out and other guys on, that will be streaming the event. So on the day, they'll be testing their speed, they'll be testing their agility, they'll be doing certain drills as well, depending on their size and their height and I guess what we see on the day when they come through.
Hey, from your experience and your opinion, what would you think the best position is for our Pacifica athletes?
The defensive line, see the balls, get the ball. It's a pretty simple term. Like Coach Chris has always told me, is like the best thing about the Poly boys, because we're rugby players, right, we're not scared of contact. You give them a helmet, you give them pads, you know, it's a whole nother level of beast inside them. But then it's just teaching them the X's and O's of football. But then making sure that their bodies have what it takes to go to that next level. So, yeah, the athletes that we have been able to work with have been defensive ends, defensive tackles. You know, Tully was on the D-line. But now, I guess, fast forward a couple of years later, we've now got a lot of offensive linemen. So the O-line guys now, they block for the QB. And obviously, Lakin Vakalahi, who signed with the Philadelphia Eagles last year, he's now been able to open these doors for us because these coaches and teams have now realized, you know, there's boys down there and you know, with the support of Coach Chris and these other great guys, it's really putting a highlight on our athletes.
What about someone like Jordan Mailata? How much of an influence has he had on the American public about the perception of Australian Pacifica players transitioning into AFL? NFL. He's definitely not playing that game.
Oh, mate, massively. Yeah, huge. Like, his journey alone and being able to, you know, watch from afar, I haven't met him, but heard a lot of great things about him. But, yeah, he's really putting Australia on the map. And like Lakin, they're now really starting to see there are kids at that size that are able to play the sport and make sure that they're able to go through this pathway and get to the other end. So, mate, Jordan's been instrumental, in my opinion.
Love your work, bro.
Love your work, man. Unreal. And I know you're doing some stuff in Melbourne, but hopefully you can get over to the islands and just pick out the raw talent and help change some lives there as well.
Oh, 100%. Or, you know, when I was away with Tonga the last few years, you know, I went away and went to the local teams, especially Fiji and Samoa, and it was heartwarming, right, because you get to see the reality of our people and the struggle, but yet there's no complaints, they're happy, you know, just to be around that, it really, I guess, drove me to keep doing what I'm doing. And it was a funny story, Marshawn Lynch, when he came, you know, we're talking, and he's like, hey, man, do you know anyone in Tonga? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, he's like, I want to go to Tonga and Samoa. And then everything popped off in terms of my program. So, you know, we're in talks and it's only a matter of time before we find the next Jordan from the islands to change their world. And the best part about those kids, as we know, they'll run through a brick wall regardless. It's just teaching them how to do it properly.
Well, you let Marshall know if he wants to go to Cook Islands. I'm his man.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. You let him know as well. I'm keen to carry a few bags. I'm not running through any brick walls or anything, but I'm keen to hold the pads and have a crack that way. But we love your work. We wish you all the best. Thank you so much for joining us. And keep us posted on any of your players that go through and kick on, because we'd love to get them on and share their journey and their story as well with our Pacific people.
No, I appreciate you guys. My love, we do it.
This is Neat and Footy.
Well, Sammy, at the end of every Monday's episode, we finish with Neat Knowledge. And we've done that since we've started Neat Footy. But I thought we would change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's,
I'm with you.
Freshen it up and coming with a new game. We will still get these tattoos. Don't get me wrong. That punishment is going ahead.
It's coming. And we'll get it filmed. We'll put it up on socials.
I don't know how, but we finished on a draw last year on Neat Footy. And I think we only got like 21 points each when we asked each other three questions every week. So hopefully this year we do get a few more answers right. But the new game that we will be playing is called...
Give me three.
Give me three.
Give me three. So with all of that, what you were saying around, we've been doing it for a long time, we pretty much only get less than 50% right over a full year, which is not great. So I thought, let's make it a little bit easier for ourselves. We haven't got a punishment yet, but we will. We'll come up with one.
Yeah, if you think of tattoos, we're going to that extreme.
I'm scared of heights. We're not doing it.
Think bungee jumping, skydiving.
Nah, you're dreaming. Dreaming.
Mystery.
Let me get to the game.
Mystery food challenge.
Oh, I'll do the mystery food challenge. I like that. But
shark diving.
Ooh, in South Africa, I was supposed to go shark diving, and I locked my door because you got to not
those chain ones.
The chain ones, because they got the key. They said, "Yeah, I'm coming." I was never going to go. This was on tour when I was with the force, and the boys tried to break into my room to take me shark diving. But I put the chain on there, and I put the chair up against it, and I sat there.
You're scared of shark diving.
I'm scared of everything that could kill me. But give me three. This game, right, took me ages to come up with it. A lot of thought went into it. Have you played categories before?
Categories. Yeah. So you give a topic.
Yes.
And then I have to find
relations to that topic. Yes. So what we'll do, we'll come up with a category, and you've got to get three things right from that category.
So give me an example.
So if I go, give me three rugby league players that start with the letter S.
And they have to, so Asian rugby league players?
Yeah, Asian rugby league players. You know what I mean?
That's self, S. Satili, Siwa, and Shione.
Yeah, there you go. So you said, Ben, so you get three points.
Okay.
So easy game, yeah?
Yeah,
we should be getting well over.
Well, if you think 40 weeks times 320 answers, so we should get maybe over 60.
I hope so. If we're not
combined, If we here's another challenge. If we don't get over 60, we both do the challenge.
Yeah, that sounds good, because we should be getting over 60 on this one.
The minute we go over 60, the loser does the challenge.
Yep, that's the aim of the game. All right, is that fair?
Yep,
we're good to go.
Fair, done.
All right, so I'm going to start off. I'll ask the first. Give me three Fijian cross code wingers.
Oh, wingers.
Wingers.
Okay. Lottie.
Yeah, that's one.
Marika.
Yeah, Marika Korimbete. Yeah, that's two.
And I've got the last one.
Who?
It's not even who you were thinking to.
I don't know.
Tengili.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Did he play NRL? Did he get a debut?
Tigers. Oh, rugby league convert.
Yeah, no, sorry, it should have been more specific. They had to play.
Oh, NRL.
They had to play a game. But it was a good one. I like it. But give me one more.
Oh, okay.
Who actually played?
Oh, this is a good one. Because
Come on, mate.
Just a reminder, I was on a cruise ship yesterday and my head is rocking. Hey, this whole room is swaying, bro.
No one cares about the excuses. Mate, there's two that should come to you straight away.
Mark Nawanga Nitawase.
Oh, there you go. I didn't even think of that one.
Beauty.
Yes. Hey, ding, ding, ding. That's three.
What was the other one too?
I like that. Yeah, nice. I had Semi Radradra.
Oh, Big Semi.
Big Semi.
Yeah.
Suliasi Vunivalu as well.
Oh, yeah, the Storm. Melbourne Storm.
Yep. And old school player. This is where I thought you were going with an old school player. Noah Nandruku.
Nah.
The Canberra winger.
No chance.
But there you go. That's our time.
We're up to a good start.
Great
baby.
Start. First show back in 2025. Make sure you tell your mates about Nijan Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. See you next week.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.